Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomen. Right now, we return back to the program Dr. Gary Cast of the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission. Gary, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Good to be back.
Well, these are difficult circumstances because I've asked you to come on to talk about the Orlando shooting. And one of the surprising developments about this horrendous act of, let's face it, jihadist violence, somehow Christians have been blamed, at least in some quarters, for the shootings as if they had something to do with it. And I would like to cast light on that, or have you cast light on that. So first of all, let's begin on a note of condolences for those who were killed.
Absolutely. Nobody is rejoicing in murder. And by any of our legal definitions, what took place there was murder. So, yeah, absolutely. It was nothing that we want to celebrate. But what this has done and is open up a, as some people have said, opened up the fissures of division in the culture. And so we've got a very strange concoction here of people who've been speaking out for years, warning because of our misguided immigration policies, and now therefore, and along with it, cultural relativism, that this is what we would end up with. And then, of course, that's on the Islamic side. And then on the other side, because of the homosexual activism and all of their gains, that there was going to be terrible consequences down the road as a result of imbibing in moral relativism. And both of those have more or less collided. And now we're here, and frankly, it's kind of, we're kind of conflicted. We're trying to sort through this. Good people are kind of jumping into things. I think we're going to have to process this, but it's a very perplexing situation, to say the least.
Well, I don't want to get into the geopolitical aspects in terms of Islam and you know, the way we're not being kept safe by this administration. And the only reason why is because I'm having other guests address that issue. What I want to focus on, since your whole specialty is focusing on the way Christians are sometimes maligned, I'm amazed that the other side is using this as an opportunity to denigrate Christians. What have been your observations?
Let me say this, and hopefully people will understand. I think the left was disappointed that the shooter wasn't a Christian. Because they
That's the same thing with the Boston Marathon. Remember that? The Boston Marathon bomber, some guy was just chomping at the bits, hoping this was going to be a Tea Party guy.
Right. Because they have a this paradigm that says that people who are conservative, especially Christians who actually believe the Bible and want to uphold the Bible, that somehow, you know, we're the ticking time bomb and, you know, we're going to go out and do something like this. And what they don't understand is, no, we don't. As conservatives, we are generally law-abiding. Now, that's not to say there's not some whacked-out guy out there somewhere who might down the road do something stupid, because within every group, there's always somebody who's, you know, not dealing with a full deck, and I pray that doesn't happen. But this has been their, you know, projected scenario, and then come to find out, no, it wasn't a Christian, it was an Islamist. So I think they're frustrated because we, you know, they want to blame us, and yet the only way they can do it is by making this very tangential argument, but based upon the facts, no, Christians didn't do it, so therefore we're not guilty.
You know, and I can't help but think about sometimes some of the violence that's been committed against those in the abortion industry. As Christians, we do not justify that violence, but it has happened from time to time. But even there, if you look at the facts, if you look at the, you know, the different people involved, in about half the cases, you have people who are professing Christians. In the other half, you have whack jobs, or in one case, remember Eric Rudolph, who was on the lam for years and years and years, he said, I'm a follower of the philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche, who was famous for being an atheist. And he said, the problem with you Christians is, on the one hand, you claim to be pro-life, and on the other hand, you're not willing to, you know, do violence against the abortionists. So you can't have it both ways. So said he. Meanwhile, every time one of these things happens, regardless who the shooter is or whatever, the Christian community, you know, rises up as one person generally and says, we don't agree with this. This is evil. This is anti-Christian. Hello?
Right.
This is anti-life.
Right, and that's, again, the profound difference between Islam and Christianity, isn't it?
Yeah.
When Christians rise up and take matters in their own hands legally, they don't have the authorization to do that according to Romans 13. The sword has been delegated to the state. The state has the obligation to enforce law and apply law. So the Christian can't just take matters into his own hands. And so it's a violation of his religion. When a jihadist goes to a homosexual nightclub and shoots it up, he's actually working within the confines and frankly will be lauded for what he's done because that's perfectly within the Islamic framework as far as their religion is concerned. So there's some profound differences, but all of that gets lost upon the liberals when they're ranting against Christians.
Yeah, and one of the things is they think that anybody who says that, let's say, homosexual acts are wrong before Almighty God, then somehow you are, you know, part of the problem, not part of the solution. And they don't realize, you know, wait a minute, I didn't make this up. It's in the scripture. You know, what am I supposed to do? Take a razor blade and cut out those six portions at least of scripture that deal with the issue?
Exactly. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Remember, not so long ago, Hillary Clinton publicly said, people are going to have to change their religion or at least modify their religion in order to accommodate the new liberal agenda and realities. Well, no, we can't. Not without creating. Yeah. Not without indulging in treason against Christ. And frankly, I fear God more than I even fear Hillary, although I do fear Hillary as well.
Wow. Well, you know, one day you may find those words very interesting if she becomes president. You know, isn't that funny? I mean, it's so true, though. The left, on the one hand, hates, or they claim to hate tyranny, and on the other hand, they really do embrace it.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of the younger generation have been drinking the Kool-Aid, and they don't know any better because that's what they're being fed. It's, you know, it's just, so we're in the culture war, we're fighting, and then this happens, and it conflicts the liberals because what side are they going to take? Well, they can't be anti-Muslim because obviously the Muslims hate the Christians, and they can't be anti-gay, because the gays are frustrated and I believe are in rebellion to Christ and therefore hate Christians in a certain way, not the same way that Islamists hate Christians. But nevertheless, because we represent Christ and we can't condone their lifestyle, they're frustrated with us. So this has tied the liberals up in a knot. Hmm. And so they end up in this irrational position of blaming Christians for what is clearly nothing to do with Christianity.
Yeah, and they forget that one of the messages of Jesus was not only is there forgiveness through Jesus because of his death on the cross for us, but he also says, go and sin no more. I mean, wrapped up in that believing in Jesus is repentance. And somehow that's lost on some professing Christians today on the liberal side.
Well, and it's unfortunate. Because if we're not careful, and this is the kind of the conundrum that we're put in as Christians, how many years, decades, have we been warning homosexuals, please, for your own sake, turn from your sin, flee to Christ, be saved and restored and healed, and we can name names, we don't need to do it right now, of people that have done exactly that and have thriving ministries and have moved on with their lives and have families. And we've been warning there are consequences to rebellion to God. Now, I don't know. I'm not able to, you know, divine the mind of God and know how those consequences are going to work themselves out. But we've been warning and warning and warning, and now bad things are happening. And now, you know, even though we've warned and pled and begged and prayed and, you know, done everything we could do to try to prevent people from living this open rebellion against Christ, they persisted. And then you add into that admixture the I believe, kind of the demonic side of religion, which is Islam, and you've got people on one side that are living in rebellion to Christ, an uncontrolled life, and then you have other people who are living in rebellion to Christ, only using religion to justify it. And now, with the advent of multiculturalism, all of this is coming to a head, and it's frustrating as the Christians, because we're pleading with both sides, please come to Christ and do what is right. And we're going unheeded, but that doesn't mean we stop, and it certainly does not mean we apologize for what is true. God's word is true. Jesus said, you know, his word is truth. He was praying that God would sanctify us with his truth. So Jesus affirms the scriptures. We're followers of Jesus. We have no choice, and we're not going to deny Christ in order to please people who have no interest in him. So it's our duty, it's our privilege to follow the Lord and his word. And that's not to say, as Christians, we don't say everything perfectly or do everything perfectly, but to lay blame for what happened in Orlando at the foot of Christians is just, again, the height of irrationalism.
Can you think of any example where a professing Christian did something evil like this against Muslims? I mean, against Muslims, that's one thing, but against, let's say, homosexuals. I mean, I can think of those West Side Baptists people who were very insensitive, and they thought they were doing the right thing to say, you know, God is not happy with this.
And let me just,
but they weren't violent.
No, they were not violent. They've never been violent. And this is, and a lot of people, you know, nobody wants to hear this, but it's true. Go back and read your Bibles. There is a prophetic word that God sends, and sometimes it's very offensive, and that's why most of the prophets were killed. You remember that. So we don't want to, what I would say to people, okay, I may not agree with the tactics of some people that go out and protest and say things, but let's focus not on tactics. What is not true about the message? And let's focus on the truthfulness of what they're saying. If they're saying something that's not true, then let's sort it out. And that may be a more constructive thing, because if you read the scriptures, you can see God used prophets, and prophets used various provocative tactics to get attention to the message. And can that not be the case today, even in the pro-life movement? There's people that use very graphic signs to say, look, you know, babies are being dismembered in here. Please stop. And some people find that offensive.
We'll save your baby. Come to us. We'll save your baby at every step along the continuum.
Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of the conundrum we're in as Christians. We have an obligation to bear witness to the truth. Okay, does everybody agree on tactics? No. And that's okay. Some people are more warm and fuzzy Christians. Some people are more prophetic Christians. The question is not the tactics. The question is, are we bearing witness to the truth? We're never going to get the world to like us. Mm-hmm. This isn't a popularity contest. Jesus told us that. If they hated him, they're going to hate us, but our obligations remain. We have to be faithful to him. And just, this is just the nature of living in a fallen world, and people are pressing against what they already know in their conscience.
Yeah.
And that's part of an interesting discussion to have. We already know that they're suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. And so when we show up with the truth, even their own conscience is on our side.
Mm.
and they get frustrated.
That's a great point. And, you know, you mentioned earlier how we have all these people today who think that truth is relative or morality is relative. There is no ultimate right and wrong. And I think if anybody ever said that, you could just turn around and say, okay, was the Orlando nightclub shooting right or wrong or just neutral? Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was wrong. It was horribly wrong. Gary, thank you so much for being with us. DefendChristians.org for more information of Dr. Gary Kass's ministry. Thank you, Gary Kass. That's spelled C-A-S-S. Gary, always a pleasure. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.